Keep praying for Kari and Kelly. They're on the road again this week. We'll spend a couple more thousand miles on the wheels of their car this week. So pray for their safety and travel as they go about the district. Renewal series number 5. Do you guys remember where we're at? Anyone? Jeremiah?
Nehemiah.
All right. My hearing's not so good. I heard a ayah. Nehemiah, we're going to jump into chapter 3 today. So I've titled today's message, Surround Sound. How many of you like surround sound? I've never had it, so I'm not sure what it is. I think that's what you have at the movie theater when you go, and it feels like the monsters are behind you. Is that right? So surround sound's not new. It didn't just come along with Blu-ray and DVD. But it's been around since they had coliseums. They built them around so they had surround sound. Because what does surround sound do for you? It gets you more involved. It feels like you're a part of. It feels like you're in the midst of what's going on. So as we remember in Nehemiah, the walls were torn down, they were rubble, the gates were burned. And we're looking at ourselves as though this is the state I'm in. We have to stop and check ourselves. Where am I at currently? Am I in a pile of rubble? Because if so, I'm defenseless against the enemy's attacks. If so, I'm helpless. I'm a sitting duck. There's a reason you can't shoot ducks on the water, because it's too easy. They don't have a chance. They have to be in flight. So we're talking about rebuilding our walls, renewing our mind, renewing our thinking to the mind and thinking of Christ. So taking a deep look at what's going on in Arby. Where's Arby at today? And where am I camping on my thinking and not thinking of God's way of thinking? And where am I thinking of His way of thinking and doing okay? So it's taking inventory. Looking at ourselves, what do we need to restructure? What do we need to move ahead? What do we need to continue on? And today we're going to look at building the wall. How do we get the wall built back? We need surround sound, or sound surround. We need some sound advisors around us to help us build our walls back. Because a man who isolates himself rages against all wisdom. So if I isolate myself and just, I know, I can do it, it's okay. I'm raging against all wisdom, thinking I know it all. Thinking I'm the smartest guy in the room. Or for me, it's the valley, but you know. But when I get to that point, I'm raging against all wisdom. And my thoughts are foolish. My ways are foolish. I become undone because I'm not taking advice from surround counsel or surround sound. So you and I need to surround ourselves with advisors or teachers that will help instruct us. How do we rebuild our walls? Because sometimes we get to a point we don't know what to do. There was a point when I didn't know how to build a wall. I mean, you get nails and boards and you just pound them together and it stands up and looks great, right? I didn't know there was a difference between level and plumb. I just thought you need the bubble in the middle. But when they tell you to level a wall, they mean this way. When they tell you to plumb a wall, they mean this way. So if they ask for the plumb and you give them the level, things are out of whack. But when we get an advisor around us that knows what he's talking about, he goes, no, I meant plumb, up and down, plumb. We want the wall plumb right now. We'll work on level later. So sometimes we're working on an issue that isn't even the issue we need to work on or focus on because we skip step one, we're working on step two, and it just can't come together until step one's in place. But if we surround ourselves with advisors, with instructors, with teachers, with friends. You shouldn't take advice from all your friends, really. Some of your friends have really bad advice. But you should seek out carefully advisors and counselors in your life to help keep you pointed in the right direction, to help keep you pointed and steered straight. And you should seek those from the body of Christ so you know at least they're giving you advice from the governing Word of God and not just, you know, I had a good idea. I think I know what you should do. Because we do get good ideas that come from the Lord. But if I'm not in the Word and in God, my advice probably isn't coming from God or His Word. And I can still have some good ideas, but I'd rather have God ideas than good ideas. Right? So we want God ideas into our life, and they come from godly counsel. We're going to jump into the book of Proverbs. You guys can read off the screen, but I like to read in my Bible. So if you want to turn in your Bible, you can do that also. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 is where we'll start. And hopefully, well, not even hopefully, I know you all read this last month because it's our daily Bible reading plan in Proverbs. So I know this is all fresh in your memory, right? Okay. So just some instruction from Proverbs of how do we get counsel, how do we get advisors in our lives? For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Or we could rewrite it a little bit and say, for lack of guidance, an individual falls, but victory is won through many advisors. We can make it personal. For lack of advice, for lack of guidance, RB falls. So we need to get advice. We need to get counsel. We need to have that in our lives, unless we want to just continue falling and falling and falling. Anyone want to do that? I've taken some good face plants in my day, and I don't like them. Usually my nose hurts afterwards, or my shoulders, or my wrist. Do you want to fall in your life, or do you want victory? Victory. I want victory. The Word of God says get counsel, get advice. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. If you ever start thinking your way seems right, what did the Bible just say about you? You're a fool. My way's right. It's the only way to do it. Clearly, obviously. But when my ways start seeming right to me and no one else can be right and I'm the only one right, I probably better start looking at this guy and see what's wrong. Because I'm being foolish with my thinking. Do you want to be a fool or do you want to be wise? Wise. I want to be wise. So the Word tells me, listen to advice to be wise. Listen to advice. You don't have to take all the advice given you because it's not all good advice. But you should listen to it. You should weigh it out. You should contemplate it. You should take it before God. Say, God, I'm getting this advice in this situation. What should I do with it? I'm getting conflicting advice. But that's why we have many counselors that we can ask and invite to speak into our lives. So we have surround sound. 8 out of 10 are saying this. This is probably the best avenue for me right now. Or we can say, well, 2 out of 10 said this, and this fits what I want to do anyway. Then I'm believing my own advice and I become a fool again. Right? That's what the Word of God says. That's what His Word tells us. So 12, verse 18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Do you want to hurt people or do you want to heal people? What do you want to do in your life? And you know your tongues are sharp because you've cut people with them before. I think we can all say we're guilty of that if we're honest. So yeah, I've used it on purpose to hurt people because I know it's sharp. I know it pierces deep. And some people do it continuously. The word tells us to stay far away from those people. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. We're to be quick to listen, slow to speak. Slow to speak. Don't just spit out your answers. I really dislike having conversations with people that have their answer formulated before I'm done speaking. I walk away from those conversations because they won't listen. And then I have to look at myself and say, am I doing that? Was my answer prepared before their statement was finished? Because we have to look at ourselves also. How are we doing? Hopefully we're slow to speak, quick to listen. We have two ears. That's in case one gets ruined with a gunshot. You have a spare. And we have one mouth. Should do twice as much listening and half as much speaking. Then the Bible says we will be found wise. We will be found healing others. Do you want to be healing people? Choose your words carefully. I like to think of it this way. Think before you speak. Is it thoughtful? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? THINK, think before you speak. Is it thoughtful, helpful, inspiring, necessary, or kind? Because if it doesn't fit in that category, you probably shouldn't say it. Right? Keep your mouth shut, or you're going to pierce somebody and hurt them. Then you have a mess to clean up on aisle three. And everybody knows aisle three is the baby diaper aisle. You don't want to be doing cleanup on aisle three all day. So think before you speak. Chapter 13, verse 10. Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Wisdom is found in those who take advice. I want to be known as a wise old sage when I get into my 80s and 90s. I would like to be somebody that people seek out for wisdom. Not, stay away from that crotchety old guy, he's a grouch. But hey, I know a guy in town that would probably know. They're out there. You know who I'm talking about. The Grinch. Ebenezer Scrooge. Or do you want to be that wise old sage that lives up there on Hill Street? So yeah, go ask him. He'll have good advice. Because we as the body of Christ should be the wisest counsel anyone can find in the community. We should be giving the best healing advice to everyone that comes seeking according to our knowledge of the Word of God. Not according to what Arby learned from himself. I mean, if it's hunting knowledge. But God gave me those gifts and talents and abilities. And there's some hunting passages in the Bible. So chapter 15, verse 22. We're laying a foundation here because before you can start building your wall, you have to have a foundation. Where are we building from? Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Do you want to have failure or success in your life? How many times have you met the proverbial guy that, well, I tried this and it didn't work, and I tried that and it didn't work, and I tried this and it didn't work, and everybody's just against me? It's like, no. The world's not against you. You rage against all sound judgment and wisdom. You won't take advice or counsel. Therefore, the Word of God tells us, plans fail. But if we'll seek advice, if we'll seek counsel, we will have success. There's success in many counselors, many advisors. So get some people around you. I meet people all the time that just say, I don't know what to do next. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. Usually they're young people just starting out in life and thought they knew everything, and mom and dad didn't know everything, and they're finally figuring out, I don't know nothing. You know the people, right? They're usually in their 20s, not in their 30s. My first advice to them is, who is in your life that you are gleaning from? Or who is in your life that you're sharpening yourself from? Who is in your life as an advisor or spiritual parent or counselor that you can go to for instruction or wisdom? And they usually go, no one. Oh, well, my first advice to you is find that person and get someone in your life. And of course, their answer is always, well, you be it. It's like, no, I don't think I'm the person for you. There are people in my life that I am that for, and I have those people in my life. But each of us needs that in our life. We need to be friends to one another's destinies. We need to be given strength and encouragement back to the body. Chapter 20, verse 5. Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. Each of us is a reservoir of God's purposes. It's welled up inside of us. Lest it be drawn out, we will never see the fruit of it. We will never see the manifestation of it in our lives if we never have it drawn out of us. That wise old sage, that's someone that draws out of you and pulls out your potential and asks you the hard questions. And in situations where you want to go left, they advise you don't go left. You need to go right. It's not going to be as fun and joyous down the path, but you need to go right. Because today left looks a lot better, but 10 years from now, right is a whole lot better. 5 years from now, right is a whole lot better. Because in each of us is a wellspring of life. It's in you. Say it, I am a wellspring of life. Now believe it. Now believe it. You are a wellspring of life. It's just waiting to be drawn out of you. Jesus' disciples used to sit around in boats and dip nets in the water. Everything was in them to be Christ's disciples. And until he came along and drew it out of them, they were just ordinary fishermen. They were just ordinary doctors. They were just ordinary tax collectors. But then Jesus came along, the old sage at 30 years old. You don't have to be 90 to be an old sage. You just have to have the wisdom of God in your life and be drawing it out of others. So Jesus comes along and gathers this ragtag bunch of guys around him and begins drawing out of them, and they become the apostles, the disciples of Christ, the 12. You and I have that potential inside of us, but unless we go to someone and start having that tapped into and drawn out of us, it doesn't come forth. It lies dormant. And we waste what God has given us because we leave it buried beneath the surface. What happened to the servant that didn't do anything with his talent? And he just went and buried it. He didn't gain interest on it. He didn't put it to work. He didn't grow and develop it. The master said, take what that servant has and give it to the one who has the most and cast him into utter darkness. You and I are called to develop and mature ourselves in the teachings of the gospel of Christ. We are commanded to do so. Christ says when we don't do so, we're like that servant who takes his talent and buries it, and it lies dormant for his lifetime. And he doesn't put it into practice, and he doesn't grow it, and he doesn't develop it. So for me, renewal's not an option. It's mandatory. It's a have to do in obedience with the Word of God. And I don't think that's just for me. I think that's for the body of Christ. It's for us. A commandment. A must do. So we've looked at our foundation. This is where we start from. We're getting ready to lay it and get it level and flat. So when we start stacking stones, it's going to build up and be strong and not fall over. Our concrete, our foundation is our surround sound, our counselors, our advisors we get in our lives around us. Some of us won't get advisors around us because they might get close to us and they might see all the things we do wrong. And they might see all the things we don't do that are Christ-like. And then we might be held accountable to a standard of living according to God's Word. So we push people away when they get too close. They try to come in and give advice and we push them away. Or they point out the error of our way or our sin, and we push them away. Say, whoa, you're getting way too close. Uncomfortable. Bubble. MySpace. But the Word of God says invite them in. Because the wounds of a friend or counselor are better than kisses of the enemy. Meaning a friend should be able to speak into your life, tell you what you're doing wrong, and it's going to hurt and it's going to offend you. But what you do next is what matters. If you take that offense and harbor it and let it rage into bitterness, anger, you can do that. That's not godly. It's sinful. Or you can take it and say, you know what? God is using you to renew me. Thank you for your harsh word spoken to me. I don't appreciate it, but I thank you for it. Because it's going to make me better 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It's going to make me who I need to be down the road. So most of Nehemiah chapter 3 is saying that Arby went and built this section, and Mike went and built that section, and Elisha went and built that section, and this person went. And it goes through the list of who built what section of the wall clear around Jerusalem. So we're not going to read through that because it's just a bunch of names and sections of the wall. But what we are going to glean from it today, or gather in, or partake of, whatever word you like, is that it took a whole tribe of people, a whole city, to build the wall back, to restore it. Meaning, I'm not a one-man show. I can't do it alone. I need to gather some people around me to help me build a good, sound, solid foundation and then a wall and to restore my doors back to defendable doors. I need help doing that. I need a church body around me. Look at this. We have one. Then we have to start working for one another and with one another and being gentle and kind and loving and compassionate and forgiving. No, they should put that in the Bible. That's good stuff. It's good stuff. So Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 5. We're going to pull out a couple of verses from in here. Some of us sit in this boat as we rebuild the wall. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 5. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. So most all the city went to work and began building and growing and developing. But these few nobles thought, that is below my pay grade. How dare I do that? That's the servant's job. That's the common laborer's job. Some of us would allow pride to sneak into our lives and say, well, I've got it all together. I don't need advisors. I don't need help. And I don't need to help anyone else. Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. We're okay. No, not okay. We first have to get our walls repaired. We have to get structurally sound so we can help others. So we first have to look here and help this guy out, me, myself, and I, for all our personalities, right? I got to help me, myself, and I, and then I can go help other people. I got to first get this mess cleaned up before I can ever start helping somebody else. So I need to find some people that have their mess cleaned up to help me clean up my mess, and then we can go on and help some other people and continue helping. So we'll jump down to verse 8 in Nehemiah chapter 3. If I butcher these names, I'm asking for your forgiveness. Uzziel, son of Harhiah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section. And Hanani, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. So here we have a goldsmith and a perfume maker. Should they be building the wall? That's not their profession or their trade. But they laid down what they were really skilled and good at and took some time away to get uncomfortable, to step into something they'd never done before maybe, and participate and help. Sometimes our excuse is, well, that's not who I am, that's not who God made me. I don't think I need to be a part of that. No, that doesn't fit me. I'm really more of a perfume maker than a builder. But by these guys' example, everybody, regardless of what their trade, other than a few of these nobles that thought they were too good for it and were prideful, they stepped out of their trade and their work they knew so well. They stepped out of their comfortable positions. And they got dirty and messy with the rest of the people to help rebuild the wall. For some of us, we're going to have to step out of our comfort zone and say, well, I don't know how to teach or instruct. I used to not know how to teach or instruct. I still don't know it all, but I'm getting better at it. Why? Because I practice it. Because I get up here every Sunday. I speak at other meetings. If you would have saw me 10 years ago, you went, whoa. Oh, God help him. But we have to put ourselves into those situations to make ourselves better. It doesn't just come by itself. We have to get out of our comfort zone and begin helping others. Say, well, I've never been a mentor. I've never been a spiritual parent. I've never been a spiritual guide. Well, you have to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. Today's a good day to start. Today's a great day to start. Start seeking God, praying and asking God, who would you have me mentor? Who would you help me to build and to grow? Or maybe your prayer would be, God, who should I select in my life to be an overseer, to be a counsel, to be an advisor? God, who around me could give me good, sound advice? Who could bring wisdom into my situations, God? God will start pointing those people out to you. He will show you if you'll ask him, if you'll seek him for it. Because we all need our walls built up. We all need our doors repaired. And maybe you're doing pretty good and most of your walls in place and just your doors are burned down. Maybe you're completely blown out of the water and there's not even a level playing field to start from. We're all at different parts of the process. So we just give grace for where we're at today and we move on for a better tomorrow. Better for me tomorrow might be just getting the rubble off so I can start. Better for you tomorrow might be putting the hinges on the last door so you can hang it in place and be completely defendable. I don't know where you're at, but you know where you're at. Take inventory. That's why we looked at it. But progressively getting better day by day, taking our talents up out of the ground, growing and developing them as God has called us to. We never have enough time. Oh, wait, there's next week. Right? You just have to come back to get the rest of it. So in this building project, all the workers work, the young, the old, the skilled, the officials, the servants, the laborers, They all came together and worked. There's always a part and a place that we can fit and do. Regardless of what our background is, regardless of what our skill set is, there's always something we can engage in and do in the body of Christ. The only reason we don't is because we won't. There's a place for each one of us to grow and develop, to help, to train, to mentor. There's a place for all of us. So know that you're valued. Know that you have a place. Some people will help build for a season in our lives. Others will help build for a lifetime. Sometimes we try to hang on to people. We try to keep them in our lives when God says, no, I just brought them in for a season. He needed them for a season, but now I'm removing them because somebody else needs them for a season. And sometimes we keep chasing those people and God's trying to pull them away from us and we keep chasing them. And God, I can't get back to them. He goes, I don't want you to get back to them. I got somebody new coming. So we have to be flexible. We have to know that God's going to put people in your life for your lifetime. Or their lifetime, whoever dies first. But God's also going to bring people in your life to help grow and develop you just for a season, for a time. And it'll come and go. He's going to put you in people's lives for a season. And it's going to come and go. And if we don't take opportunity of that season, I think of my children, they're in my life for a season of 18 years, pretty much 24/7. And then they remove from my life, and I might see them at Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving. Hopefully more than that. But I've got to take advantage of the time I've been given where I have them 24/7. Because I've been given to them as a gift from God to be used in their life for instructing and training them in the Word of the Lord for a season. And hopefully I can be in their life for a lifetime. Once they're 18, that'll be their choice. I'll be there for them. But whether they involve me or not is up to them at that point. But who's in your life right now? In your sphere of influence at work, in community, at sports, hobby, play, church. Because God might have you in their life or them in your life for a season. Take advantage of it. Make the most of it. Grow and develop together. But he might have them there for a lifetime. That's even better. I like lifelong friends. Although it kind of bums me out when I say, yeah, we met 25 years ago. That doesn't sound right yet. I'm not old enough to have known people 25 years ago. Or maybe I am. Some of my old church camp friends that I met when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. It's like, wow, we've known each other 25 years. I never thought I'd live to be that old, let alone know people for that long. Oh, so much to say, so little time. We'll go through these words of instruction real quick. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So as a body, we're supposed to be encouraging one another every day so that we don't become hardened by sin or given to sin. So we need to be looking out for one another. We need to speak in love. Remember, be slow to speak. And we want these to be healing words, not words that are piercing and inflicting pain and injury. But we need to be looking out for one another, helping one another. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So meeting as we are today as a body of believers. Some people say, I don't need that church stuff. I got God. I got Jesus. Well, if they really had him, they'd have his word in them. And the word says to meet together as a body, to grow and sharpen together as a body, to encourage one another as a body. Because when I don't do that, I isolate myself and I rage against all wisdom. Which when I rage against wisdom, I become foolish. When I become foolish, my plans fail. And I begin a vicious cycle of misery and pain and suffering. So gather together with the body. In John 14, 26 and 27, this wonderful helper that the Father has sent us. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, of course Jesus speaking here, we teach you all things and will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So some final instruction today. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Jesus Christ gives us his peace. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a counselor and guide. Don't be troubled, don't be afraid. That can be a scary process to begin rebuilding, to take a good, clear look at yourself. Wow, I'm ugly. I'm a mess. But look beyond that to where Christ is wanting to take you, wanting to get you. One quick story. I'm going to save my good one for next week, so you have to come back next week if you want to hear the really good story. And this one's good, so you know next week's going to be really good. So my wife, she doesn't like stories about her. She said I could use this one. I did. When we were 16 or so, I took her bear hunting for the first time in her life. And it was such a horrible experience. It took me 18 years to get her to go with me again. So the first experience was with hound dogs, which is very physical, and it was a really long day. And we don't have time for that story today, but just know it was ugly. The hunt, not our relationship or anything, right? So I finally get her to go with me. I go, honey, we're just going to go to a bait. We'll ride the four-wheeler in. We just have to walk a few hundred yards. You know, it's pretty level. It's not very hard to get to. It'll be easy. We'll sit on the ground. Bears will come lick honey off the tree. It'll be wonderful, you know. Painting a romantic setting, right? Of course, it ends up being freezing cold. It's sleeting snow on us. We're bundled up like Eskimos. And we're sitting there, and it's getting what I call bear 30. About 2 hours till dark and in is bear 30. So I'm getting excited, and she grabs my hand and pretty soon starts squeezing a little more intently. Okay, she's seeing a bear, and we're in pretty big open timber. I can see everywhere. I'm like, I don't see no bear. What's she seen? I'm like, maybe she wants to go. I don't know, but whatever. Pretty soon she's really squeezing, like I'm in labor squeezing. You know what I mean? If your husband's been in the labor room, you know what I mean. I'm like, okay, she definitely is uncomfortable with whatever's going on, and I can see nothing. And I'm like, what? And she's like, bear, bear. I was like, where? She's like, right next to me. And so I'm sitting there on the ground next to her, and she's sitting right here. We're against this big tree. And I slowly turn my head and look, and she's about right here. And her head is silhouetted in black. I'm like, oh, right there. You know, new bear hunters get nervous easy, but this one was 15 feet away or so. And about that time, Mama Bear sees us. And then I see these two little fur balls. And she goes, whoa. And the little cubbies run right at us and shoot up the tree right next to us. I was like, oh, God, okay. I'm thinking in my brain, this is... Like, bears are not really that scary. Our black bears aren't scary in the woods. They run from you whenever they can. But now we have the most dangerous kind of bear in the woods, and her cubbies are between her and us. this isn't a good situation. The only worse is we're between her and them. So I'm thinking, okay, I got to, you know, Kathleen's freaking out. She's a little bit nervous. So shoot it, shoot it, shoot it. I'm like, we can't shoot it. Why not? It's illegal. I'm like, just be calm, be still, and they'll go away. And she's going, yeah, right, shoot it, shoot it. I have my gun across her lap, pointed in the direction of the bear, and the two little cubs are right there, kind of up and down, like, what are you guys doing down there? And they're just right above us, like that light right there. And pretty soon, Mama makes a couple noises, and they jump out of the tree and run off, and they go away. She's like, let's go. I'm like, no, no, we're fine. They're gone. They're not coming back. They're more scared of us than we are of them. She said, maybe you. She was certain I was trying to feed her to the bears. But sometimes as we're rebuilding our lives, as we're in the process of renewal, we're into unfamiliar territory, things we haven't experienced or known before, and it gets scary. And if we have those counselors, those wise old sages around us that have been there before, that have known it, have experienced it, they can bring that calm and that peace into our situation. And if we'll just sit under them and listen and be still and let the peace come in, they're going to take care of us and see us through to the next level of growth and development. They're going to see us through to the next level of renewal. But sometimes we get so uncomfortable, we just want to go, let's get out of here. When I'm looking at the clock going, we got an hour and a half left of daylight. The best is yet to come. And God's always looking at us going, Arby, don't pull the plug. Don't pull the plug. I know it's intense right now. I know it's uncomfortable. I know you're freaking out inside. But the best is yet to come. In renewal in your life, and it's going to continue. You don't just get there once and, we've arrived. But God has so many levels of renewal available to us that the best is yet to come. And it continues to be renewed and refreshed. And remember in your life, the best is yet to come. So keep pushing forward. Stay in the seat. Don't let the bears run you off. Trust your guide. Trust your advice and counsel, because the Word of God says we can. And keep moving forward. Keep renewing yourself. Keep growing and developing. Keep getting uncomfortable. But stay in the seat. Stay where God's placed you. And see what He can do. A brand new work in you, in I. Amen? Amen. We're going to start talking about deflecting the conflict, because next week the opposition is coming against Nehemiah as he's building the wall. They have to fight with a tool in one hand and a sword in the other. How do we do that in our lives? So we're going to look at it next week. Come back. There's a better story than that one. I think it is anyway. So Wayne, if you would come, he's going to close us out today. Love you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Arby. So, Kathleen, you probably know how Goldilocks feel, huh?